It doesn't have to be this way. That's from the Blow Monkeys on Revenge of the 80s Radio. I'm Chris Cordani. The band reformed in 2008 and have released several acclaimed albums, most recently 2017's The Wild River and 2019's Acoustic. With me now is the leader of the band and its frontman, Dr. Robert. Welcome to Revenge of the 80s Radio, Doctor.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm always happy. I think I'm doing okay. How about you?
Yeah, likewise. I can't complain. Still ticking over, as they say.
Excellent. I can complain, but I generally don't anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of bands from the 80s who have broken up and reformed in some way have done either one of these things. Reunite for a tour and possibly an album or two, or perhaps reunite with some original members, but with a somewhat different lineup for one reason or another. The Blow Monkeys original lineup, the full original lineup, reformed and mostly still making music today. What keeps you guys together?
Well, I think we have a sort of a family kind of ethic in the band. It's always kind of been that way. And we enjoy each other's company, although we don't really mix outside of the band, which is probably why we're still together. But ultimately, the glue is the music, you know. So we enjoy playing gigs. We enjoy making new records. And, you know, we just carry on until we don't feel we have anything more to say. But the whole point of getting back together was to make some new music as well as celebrate what we'd already done.
And the good thing is a lot of you guys still, while the band is on, do your own solo projects, which makes it a lot more special when you get together, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I write a lot, so I have you know, plenty of time to sort of pursue my own solo career as well, which is rather different to what we do with the Blow Monkeys. So, you know, I'm not short of songs. I enjoy writing. I enjoy doing what I do. So as long as there's people out there that want to hear it, I'll keep doing it.
A couple of my listeners found I was doing an interview with you and said, can you ask Dr. Robert how and why he got his stage name? I'm assuming you're a Beatles guy or maybe a neurosurgeon in a past life, but what made you pick Dr. Robert?
Well, you know what? I was neither of those things, because when I first started the band, I was 18 years old, and I just thought I needed to have, you know, some kind of name. It just was like what occurred to me, you know, most people have. So, and then at that point, I wasn't aware of this Beatles song, to be honest, until I'd listened later on to Revolver. So it was just a name that was seemed, you know, my name is Robert, and I thought that would do. But there's no sort of special reason behind it. And the same with the Blow Monkeys. I mean, it's kind of a stupid name, but people don't forget it.
No, nobody forgets that. Interestingly, you grew up in Australia, Dr. Robert, but formed the band after moving back to Britain. That country was immersed in its own new wave scene and spawning many genres at the time. Australia had its own brand of new wave as well. How much influence did music you listened to from Australia have on the creation of the Blow Monkeys?
Well, it did have, actually, because at the time, what I found that in Australia, they were listening to very different sorts of music to than the stuff I'd grown up with in England. So I was, you know, I saw bands like The Saints and early version of The Birthday Party with Nick Cave and people like that, and Radio Birdman, and sort of the early punk scene in Australia. And there was one band in particular that your listeners probably won't know of, but they were called The Laughing Clans. And that was the kind of blueprint for the Blow Monkeys. They had a brass section, they had a jazzy drummer. And, you know, it was just something that really struck home with me.
I always say brass is important, and real brass, not the synthesizer brass.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a massive fan. I love all, you know, I love that kind of soul stuff, James Brown, but I also love that African Fela Kuti type brass as well.
Dr. Robert, your lyrics were politically charged for the most part, yet set with a rather smooth musical style that allowed the words to subtly enter the listener's ears while either dancing or enjoying the sound. Much of the more political music at the time came from a much harder or more blatant tone, and you knew it was political, like what we heard from The Clash, maybe, or perhaps Midnight Oil. But was this idea to kind of smooth it in by design originally, or something that just developed freely as you played together?
It just happened. I mean, I was living in Brixton in London during most of the 80s. You know, it was a very political time in the UK, well, it still is. It always is. And I just wanted to write about what was around me. But at the time, we were, you know, I was very influenced by soul music and what we were making. So I was just trying to put the two together in a way that was natural. I wasn't happy writing kind of just ordinary love songs, although I would be now. You know, it was just a natural thing, really, and I was just observing what was going on around me.
Well, you might have helped a lot of people with digging your scene. I'm sure it helped a lot of high school kids maybe learn a lot more about AIDS and the political backlash against gay people at the time.
Yeah, I don't know whether that message got through, but it was important for me to write something about that because at the time there was a lot of hysteria and fear being thrown about and false claims, fake news, as they say these days. it was important to say something.
Right. Well, people were scared at the time, and maybe a nicer tone kind of gave people a little more of a perspective. Like, there's something to be said about the idea of making what might be considered controversial statements through an overall pleasurable tone, and even hit the dance charts. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, I think it's more effective. I think, in a sense, I remember John Lennon saying that he'd written all these political songs, but when he quoted it in a slightly sugary way with something like Imagine, it got through. Because, you first of all, you have to have a good song. I think you have to draw people in. You have to cast a spell. And then if people want to listen to the lyrics and study them, great. But, I don't think that you can't hound people or shout at them and necessarily get them to change their mind or even think about things.
Right. In fact, you have a lot of people who listen to your music on the other side politically who they'll get where you're coming from. And
yeah,
they'll enjoy
it. It doesn't matter what side politically you're from. I mean, the most important thing is that you like the song and that you feel that the lyrics are heartfelt. It really doesn't matter where you're from.
Exactly. Dr. Robert, you and your bandmates collaborated with an interesting array of artists at the time and even into today. Paul Weller, Curtis Mayfield, and even the Jamaican guy, Ika Mouse, which I love the name. I just had to say Ika Mouse. I try to do that every once in a while.
Yeah, it's good therapy.
You continue that in the solo efforts, too. It seems important to you to make sure you get a lot of genres mixed in with your own tones.
I just love that collaborative thing about musicians. I don't, I've always thought that when you put it together, you've got nothing to lose. You've only got something to gain, inspiration and sharing and trying to make something new and fresh. So, I think I'm drawn towards that, and I like that aspect of it, and not so much competition and ego battles and all that, just making music together. So I've done quite a lot of that over the years. Obviously, there were people that I really learned from, like Curtis Mayfield, who was, in my book, he was a genius, and he was such a lovely guy. So I was just a kid when I met him, really. So, the people like that come along and they change your life.
Considering the fact that you guys play so well together, what made the Blow Monkeys disband at the turn of the 90s?
A lot of things, really. And we had been together for 10 years and we'd done an awful lot of touring. I think we were a bit tired. We'd come to the end of our record contract. So I didn't really want to renegotiate a new one. And I moved out of London with my wife and a young family, and everyone had young kids. So, it was time to do something different. I wanted to get into production, play with other people, make some solo records. So it was the right time.
Dr. Robert of the Blow Monkeys is with me on Revenge of the 80s Radio. Straight ahead, let's talk about his solo work, the Blow Monkeys reforming, and the new music.